Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the last in the series of the Clinton Baptiste Paranormal Podcast. It's Series 6. It's Episode 42. And welcome to our Christmas special!
Ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho! Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm here with Linda Pollock. You heard us saying ho three times.
Yes.
That's a bit rude.
As is the custom.
As is the custom. Linda, what the bloody hell have you been up to?
Oh, yeah, homework. So, I have now got a training course for work that I've got to do, you know,
right.
My junior admin.
Right.
And for the first time in many a year, I had a weekend marred by the knowledge that I shouldn't be having a good time. I should be doing my homework.
Oh, God, what sort of bloody homework is it?
Oh, just talking about admin and that, different procedures and theories, the theories of admin, the theories of shuffling papers.
Oh, my
it's just
God.
Awful.
I'm
my
so
God.
Glad that. Well, well done to you for doing that. Someone's got to do it.
I need to write 2,500 words on it.
You don't know 2,500 words, do you?
I'm thinking of one now. Do you know what it is?
Prick. Now, really, oh, God.
You are psychic.
Yes, I am. Did you know that, I mean, I was never very good at doing my homework on time. You'd have a Sunday night. But occasionally I do dream, we were talking last week about dreams. I do dream that, oh, my God, I've got some exams coming up and I don't have
and
them.
And it's always a book you've not read or
that's
a room
right.
you can't find.
I remember my friend Paul Natras, who only recently, as someone pointed out, his name sounds like porn actress. Paul Natras.
It's not the first one I leapt to.
Paul Mattress.
Paul Mattress, I thought.
Paul Mattress. Very Paul Mattress. I remember when we did our business studies at college, and the teacher said, I guarantee if you make notes of all these business books, you will get, you know, top marks in his A levels. And he just spent his whole time just rewriting the book out. Didn't even know what he was writing. And that was basically his revision, his homework for like 6 months, just rewriting the book out. And he got, as I did, an F for fail. An F.
Ridiculous.
And I tell you what, but the funny thing, you do something like business studies or economics or something like that, it's not very, it's boring because it's not your money, is it? The moment you actually earn money and you've got to think about it, that's when it's interesting.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about profit and loss accounts?
Until it's yours.
Until it's yours. Yeah. That was very interesting, kids, wasn't it? Let's get on with something funny.
Yeah.
And we start with...
feeling stressed.
Yes, take a break. Fate and fortune, please, as we go to our problems straight away. Linda, no one's got in touch with problems, so we have to turn to this.
I've finally got the managerial job I've always wanted, but I am not coping.
Oh.
I'm so tired all the time, but I can't get to sleep at night, and it's been like this for months. I fret about my staff and worry what my boss thinks of me. Family life is suffering too. I do enjoy aspects of it, so I don't want to resign. Can manifestation help, says Dina, 37, of Leeds.
Okay.
Bloody hell, what a ray of sunshine.
You wonder why people don't write it. Normally, she's a bit more caring than this.
Oh, what a moaner.
Hard-nosed bitch. But yes, Dina, you are a moaner. Bloody hell. The answer from clairvoyant and modern day fortune teller.
Stick a candle up yourself and Keely Potts. Whistle Dixie.
Yes, it's what she says. Stick a candle up yourself and whistle Dixie. It all feels out of balance and you're trying too hard to be a people pleaser. That's true.
Yeah.
You have forgotten yourself in all this. You can't give from an empty cup. Quite right. You are very capable of doing this job and doing it well, but you must look after yourself first. That way you will have more to give to your work and family. Some boundaries need to be put in place. Start with boundaries for self-care. Create some boundaries in...
Stop saying boundaries!
Create some boundaries in regard to input with staff. With boundaries, you are the best manager they have had. But unless you address this, you won't be able to keep meeting those standards. With boundaries, a good question to check is with yourself, how is this serving me? Ask your angels to help you address these matters too. And don't be surprised when you find that boundaries naturally sort things out. Just be in all seriousness. Be nice to this lady.
Oh.
What happens, because you've just started a job, What happens if you get there and it's just too much for you? What would you say, please, Linda?
Well, this is a classic case of be careful what you wish for. Finally got the managerial job I've always wanted, but I'm not coping. Right, here's the thing. I think sometimes you can wish too much for things and you imagine that it's going to be much more wonderful and much easier than it actually is.
Yes.
There's a reason why you have to work yourself
isn't
up
she good? Go on.
To these jobs sometimes.
Yes.
And there's also a phenomenon, isn't there, whereby some people get promoted beyond their level of competence.
That's
it
called
may be
the...
You.
What's that called? It's called the Peter Principle,
yes.
Isn't it?
I think you might be Peter in this scenario. So what I would say is, give up.
Hey? Give up?
She's shit at it.
I thought you were going to say the other thing.
And it's making her ill.
I thought you were
going
to say something like...
You come up.
Walk and run. Be free, my child. Really, give up.
Give up, you're crap at it.
Oh, well, OK.
And also, it's making you boring.
It's hard.
No one's telling you this, Dina.
It's hard but fair. Lovely advice. Keely Potts is saying, you know, ask the angels and start putting some... boundaries in place. Slightly more down-to-earth advice from Linda.
Accept your shit at it.
Okay.
Give up.
Will my daughter... Now, this is... I'll tell you what this is. I got a feeling this is... Oh, God, this is Jane Wallace, who does not... about.
Oh, Jane Wallace always gives an extra layer of detail to people's
stories. She
does. That means that any problem is going to get worse, and actually, those people you're dealing with, they're shit.
Well, it's almost like Jane Wallace has imagined half of the history of these people.
You get the feeling that maybe Jane Wallace is injecting some of her past experiences.
Well, exactly. Will my daughter return home? Potentially a great heading. Go on.
My 17-year-old daughter was doing her A-levels, but dropped out. And although I then tried to set her up with an apprenticeship, she moved in with her boyfriend. Friend and his family.
Oh, bloody hell.
She says my husband and I are oppressive because we expected to get some qualifications.
Well, you're wrong, love.
Will she come back to us and succeed, says Jackie 45 of Nuneaton, Warwickshire.
Right. What does Jane Wallace say? I think your daughter feels really misunderstood by you at the moment. Oh, blame her. Her previous relationship was with someone who didn't treat her right and caused her so much stress. The new boyfriend treats her like a princess. Her boyfriend's family are really nurturing and don't put any pressure on her.
They call you a bitch behind your back.
They think you're a bitch. She will come back to her family, but it may take time. I'm going to be honest. Oh, have you not been up to now? I have pulled the Empress card, which is associated with pregnancy.
There she goes.
Hell!
Throwing the dynamite in.
Oh, my God. Isn't that awful? I mean, that's the last thing she wanted to hear. Yeah, pregnancy. This may not be what you wish to hear at the moment, but you will be a happy
larger family. Larger family
again. Happy, larger family again. Bloody hell.
What a load of shit.
No! When will we be rid of a nasty neighbour? Have you ever had a nasty neighbour? I had a terrible bloody neighbour.
I had one that got sent to prison for hiring a hitman, but he always seemed such a nice
fella. Whoa! What happened there, my love?
I don't know much about it. I was quite young at the time.
Go
I just
on.
Noticed that he disappeared. He used to drink a lot, and he was very gregarious.
Yes.
It turns out during one of his trips to the pub, he hired himself a hitman to get rid of a business rival, and was sent to prison as a result.
This is growing up in Manchester sort of area, was
yes.
it? Or, oh, bloody hell. I was going to say nothing nearly as complicated as that, or hair raising as that. We just had a woman, you know, when you live in a flat, who won't pay a service charge. And that drove me up the bloody wall.
When I lived in a flat, my first flat that I bought, yes. I was dead proud of it, but it's got to be said that although the interior of the flat was nice, right. the exterior, the communal areas were shit.
Go on, yes. And you have to all contribute.
Yes.
Because no one would.
No, exactly.
I know.
People were bouncing, you know, people, it would get freshly painted and I think, oh, finally, I'd have to rush people through to my flat because it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yes.
And then within a week, people had like slid their bikes up the side so it had a big stripe, black stripe where the rubber of the bike had gone. Didn't care. But there was one neighbour who had the smelliest dog you have ever... I could smell when the dog had been through the corridor.
Oh, God. Yeah, like that, was it?
And
yeah.
also, he was a bit strange. We used to call him the village person.
Right.
Because he had one of them handlebar tashes and he would insist on wearing, well, just trousers, no top.
Yeah.
And a leather waistcoat.
Oh, my God.
And I would find him often. He said he was walking his dog, but I was on the ground floor flat. Yeah. And he did walk his dog very close to my windows.
Oh, the filthy... It sounds like Mr. Rawlings. He's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
This lady who would not... I don't know, I'm whispering. This is about 25 years ago. She... I was always a bit... I thought she was a bit suspect. And she always claimed that there'd been a leak in the flat and I'm not paying. You know, that sort of thing.
She'd been pissing on the floor.
She could have been pissing on the floor, but I'm not sure what that's got to do with it.
That could have been the leak in the floor.
No, it was on her roof.
Oh,
unless
right.
she was lying on her back pissing on the... Christ. Anyway, I remember one day thinking, what does she do for a living? She's always in. And a bloke came downstairs and opened the communal door. And I think he pressed on all the buzzers to get in.
Was she a pro?
Yes.
No!
And from the bottom of the stairs, I heard him say...
Maybe she had pissed on the ceiling.
And maybe that was maybe they paid extra for that. But as he came in, I heard him say, how much... How much? You know, but I don't know what her particular talent was.
In a ghost up my fanny.
Maybe it was that. I don't know. Who knows? Let's get on with this story.
Gosh, what a charming little vignette that was for you, dear listener.
It was. It was a bloody nightmare. Can I recommend, if you do buy a leasehold flat... Don't, no. If everyone's got a chip in, oh, it's bloody awful. Anyway...
We had some other neighbours who had the police round one day because they'd been burgled, and they tried to convince the police that the cat had let the burglar in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bit odd. To what end? What did the cat want from it? Some treats?
The cat kept trying to break into my house, to be honest, but you know
really?
What I'm like with animals.
Yeah?
I came back from the bathroom one day to find it lying on my bed. But it got in through the window. It was a monkey one as well. But
you don't want that, do
they
you?
They were fond of the old jazz fags.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
You do find
maybe the cat was just trying to get some fresh air.
I tell you what was another thing. Talking of leaks in flats, I'll never forget, I had a slight leak from my toilet in the flat, in the same flat. And there was a bloke, I felt so sorry for him, but he was so nice, he didn't want to say anything about it. I think he told me once, and I'd forgotten, I hadn't done anything about it. And when I saw him again... I'd been away. I came back, the pot's on. I said, how have you been? Peter, I think his name was. And he said, yeah, not too bad. I did have a bit of food poisoning. And he said, it was awful because I was being sick in the toilet. And on the back of my neck, your toilet was dripping on the back of my neck. So I got it done after that. I thought, poor bastard.
Poor Peter.
Poor Peter. Not the poor lady upstairs.
It was on the gate.
Put the pee in. Anyway. Anyway, when will we be rid of a nasty neighbour?
Well, that's
here
why we're talking
go.
About that.
That's it, yeah.
I love my home, but our lives are being made a misery by my neighbour.
Yes.
He's inconsiderate, blaring music and yelling insults. We feel like prisoners in our own home. Can you see an end to this situation, says Amy, 38 of Derby.
This is the problem, living so close to people.
I've been watching you sitting on the toilet.
That can happen. Yeah. Try and calm down these energies. This is Jane Wallace. She's so bloody sympathetic. Mm. Try and calm down these energies by cleaning your house from top to bottom.
Oh, what you're suggesting is she's a mucky bitch.
Yeah. And then burn sage to cleanse it and offer protection against this very negative and antisocial neighbour. Keep tourmaline close, but that will help too. However, as much as you love your home and you start, maybe the only answer, move
out.
fucking hell. A new place with a friendly neighbour will reduce your stress levels considerably.
Yeah, but moving won't, will it?
No, exactly. I mean, also, it's a bit nuclear, isn't it? Just move out.
Yeah, move, just move.
I don't really, I think in terms of, I'm going to say it, Jane, in terms of advice. I'm sorry about that. Now, let's get back to your ghost stories. No more problems for a little bit. We're going to go to the 100 Club from the other week when there were more of your live spooky stories. You, my love. What's your name, my love? Charlotte. Charlotte, make it good, my love. Speak into it.
Yeah. So my friends and I went to train tracks where my other friend killed herself.
Fucking hell.
Sorry.
Keep it light. Keep it light, for Christ's sake.
Anyway, we...
Please. Is this going to be horrible?
No, no, it's weird. It's so...
Mind the gap, Lindsay.
What, the gap between entertaining and shite, you mean? Is it getting ever wider? So your friend... Yeah, go on.
Anyway, we went to...
Happy Christmas, everyone! Yeah, go on.
We went to get a coffee afterwards and we're talking about it. And,
yeah, okay, that's nice.
The window steamed up next to us.
Go on.
And the window got steamed up next to us.
Fuck off.
Cold, yeah. And then the words sorry were written on the window.
Wasn't Ronnie Corbett, was it, by any chance? What do you mean? Wait, just a second. If you have a hot coffee, the window will steam up, presumably. I don't know anything about physics, but I would say that's what happens. Was possibly... I'm just playing devil's advocate because you know I'm a believer. But was sorry on there already? Speaking to the microphone,
man. It wasn't, but then it steamed up and then it was there.
Did you and your friends shit yourself or...?
No, we went, ugh.
Yeah, you're all heart like that. That's what I like about you. Okay, and do you think it was a comfort? Was it a comfort to you, that, Milo?
No, it was creepy.
Creepy, yeah. Yeah. Try to sell it a little. Well, that's in the lead, unfortunately, at the moment. That's in the lead! All right, you two. All right, I'll get you something. Please, come on. Anyone else? Got something, a proper one? Yes, here we are, Louis, it's Louis, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, okay, sounds a bit impatient.
Okay, so...
very confident, go on.
Hello. So me and my cousins, growing up, we were sort of like
nice
really close.
Nice and easy, slowly, slow down.
We were really close, sort of like my mum, her aunt, my mum, her sisters, me and all my cousins were really, really close with one another, and we used to go to visit my aunt in...
Is there a suicide in this? Can I just...
There's no suicide.
Okay, right.
Okay, so we used to go and visit my mum's cousin in Lake Windermere.
I've been there.
Do you know Lake Windermere?
Yes, I do, yes.
It's beautiful, really,
yes,
really nice.
Yeah.
So we used to spend time there every summer.
Every summer, it's nice.
We used to go there, and me and my cousins used to all sleep within the same room.
Right.
About four of us.
About four of you in the same room.
But there was a spare room where some of my other cousins used to sleep.
Good God.
Jack and Matthew.
I'm trying to encourage him, yeah.
So most summers they would...
Sorry, four of you in the one room, and there's someone in the spare, in a different room.
Two in the spare room. And there was a piano on the top floor. There was a piano on the top floor.
Yes, yes.
And my cousin Jack and Matthew, they used to sneak up and they used to play the piano and used to try and scare us every
Lovely
time
story.
That we
yeah,
were
go play the piano,
in summer. Okay, so there was a stage where they ended up sneaking upstairs, playing the piano, came backstairs, and we were like, right, okay, a ghost is upstairs playing the piano.
They said there's a ghost upstairs.
Yes, yeah. And then we went there the following year, me, my cousin Sarah...
I feel like it's the following year already. But you've done it in real time.
Me, my cousin Sarah, and my other cousin Claire.
Sorry, Sarah and Claire. And Matthew and who were
Matthew,
in the top?
Jack.
Playing the piano?
And Tom.
Yeah. Okay. Nice and quick now. Nice and quick.
So, we heard the piano playing upstairs.
What? You heard the playing?
Yes. And then we knew that it was going to either be Jack and Matthew. So we ran directly into their room to find out if it was them playing it.
Go on.
And they were both fast asleep. So that piano was playing on its own one summer when nobody was upstairs, and we all ran upstairs and nobody was there.
Oh my God!
That was three summers of...
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Shite. Who's next? Living.
A manager for a housing association.
Yeah. And when you say have to get together for a team meeting, Louis, how long does it take you to... The country's on its fucking knees, mate. We need some productivity. Don't fuck about. An idiot. Right, who's next?
You're not wrong, Clinton.
What?
You're not wrong at all.
A good one. I mean, I'm going to be fair if it's a good one. A good one, a good one, a good one, a decent one. You, my love. These people from Croydon down here.
No.
You're not from Croydon.
No, I'm from Bromley, darling.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Bromley.
The Kensington of... Southeast London.
Southeast London, yes.
Absolutely. So, no, it's not really, really brilliant, but it was...
It's not stopped anyone else.
The rest of us.
Okay, speaking
anyway,
to the microphone,
at the end of my road, there was a church. And the church was not... And there was a block of flats built.
Inside the church.
My friend lived in this block of flats.
Go on.
And I'm talking to her... Don't look at me like that.
Wait, if you tell the story, I'm laughing at this person. It's that one laughing. Don't shoot
them. Look at me.
I'm looking at you.
Don't look at them. Anyway, I'm talking to my friend.
Yeah.
And she is literally, I'm standing there saying like, hi, how are you, blah, blah. And then from behind me.
Go on.
What the hell are you doing?
Yes.
I said, I'm talking to you. And she was behind me, not in front of me. And she'd come out of the toilet.
Who came out the toilet? What do you mean?
She'd come out the toilet, and I'm talking to this person that looked
like her.
Oh, my
God, so behind her, someone came out the toilet.
It was another person, and it was where the font was, where all the christenings happened and everything, and it was a beautiful church.
Just a minute. Can I just establish something? You were talking to someone, and in the background, the same person came out of the toilet.
No, I'm talking to who I thought I was, but behind me was the actual person. So I'm talking to this mirage, this ghost, this mythical being, and I'm talking,
yes,
having a full-blown conversation
like we
Radio
are.
Radio 2 is in the background.
Radio 2.
Radio 2 was playing.
Was it Steve Wright came in from the background?
I don't think he was alive then.
This does beg a very serious question, I have to say. What the f*** are you talking about? No, but I'm not being rude. Did anyone understand? Seriously. No. You were talking to someone and then she said, oh my God, and she was behind you? Or who was in the toilet?
No, she seriously. Oh, yeah. I'm talking like I'm talking to you now.
Yeah. Well, I know you are, but you shut up.
Like that. But she was there and she said,
excellent.
What the hell are you doing?
What the hell are you doing?
Because I'm talking to her.
Jolly good. And... No, that wasn't bad though, was it? Thank you. No, come on.
It made me laugh.
Anything else we can do?
My spirits are very strong tonight.
Anyone else got a really nice one? This man here has got one.
Nearly shit myself.
What's your name, my friend?
Hold on.
John.
John.
You knew that anyway.
Is there a John in the audience? It's you. John. We've got Wallace and Gromit. Something about someone in a toilet. The coffee thing. Was that it? Oh, no, there was this. Jimmy Savile, yeah. And John, please, to steal it!
Well, this is actually a true story as well, right?
Well. Yeah, yeah. Go on.
When I was about 12, 13 at school, some of my friends, we bunked off and we had a church and a graveyard next to the school.
Promising.
And when we bunked off,
yes,
we did Ouija board in the graveyard.
Ouija board, yeah. Ouija board.
We got speaking to this bloke on the Ouija board.
The Ouija board.
The Ouija board.
You done the Ouija board, right? Yeah, go on.
And we were chatting away to him and we asked him how he got killed, etc. And then we...
Sorry.
This is a true story.
Etc. Yeah, go on.
And then we asked his name. We
How'd
asked
you
what
get
his name
killed
was.
At the Ouija board,
he told us what his name was. And I looked behind me and on the gravestone was his name. Oh. True.
What was his name, child?
Robert, but you knew that.
Yeah. And how did he die? Etc.
He was murdered.
Is that what he said? But when you did it on the Ouija board round the, I mean, it spelled it out. He didn't speak.
No, he didn't.
What? Unfortunately, he pulled the end out of your microphone there.
Is it working? Oh, it's working
John.
Again. No. He spelled it out. You know what a Ouija board is. You know your stuff.
I'm one of this country's leading clairvoyant medium sag. I know what a fucking Ouija board is, mate. I think that might have won it, don't you? It's not going to win any awards, this podcast, is it? I tell you what I'm going to do. We have got this... Oh, bloody hell. We've got this... is a Mono Loco from Ricky there. This is for you, John. I'll just take that. I think I might give this to you because I felt that was quite a heartfelt story for you, my love. Don't want to be nasty. And you two lovely ladies up there can have a Clinton Baptiste, I'm getting the word, T-shirt. If I throw it, be careful. There we are, that's for you. Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Time now for an absolutely terrifying tale from Take a Break, Fate and Fortune.
Does that say spirit ripped off my eyebrow?
Spirit ripped off my eyebrow.
I'm looking at a fringe. I think
you'll
see
it in a minute. You'll see it. Yeah, she's got a fringe that looks like an eyebrow. We got on with our spooks until things turned nasty. Scaring Me for Life by Charlotte Doherty, 45.
Coming into the kitchen one morning, I stopped in my tracks. There on the floor was a stack of remote controls in the shape of a cross. Did you do this? I asked my husband, Andy, although I already knew it wasn't him. This was just the latest in a series of spooky goings-on in our home in Bradford, West Yorkshire.
Oh, my God!
When Andy and I had first moved into the
You know what? It might be spooky.
Stop the music. Go on.
But I'd quite like that because I can never find the remotes, can you?
I don't know how to operate the bloody remote. I don't know how to operate the bloody remote.
I've got spares, at least one spare for each of my remotes. Do you know why?
Why?
Because at certain points, I've lost all of them.
I
bought an extra one, then they reappear.
I have had Barry round a couple of times to watch the telly, and he said to me, whatever you do, look, I've got all the remotes, and he said, I don't know what they do, any of them.
Yeah.
He said, whatever you do, don't use that one. I said, why not? He said, it's a Mars bar. Because I... It's a pathetic joke.
quite know. I don't really know what any of them do. Anyway, where do we get to? When Andy and I first moved into the two-bedroom 1950s bungalow, it sounds like a shithole, 1950s bungalow in April 2006.
It's very specific and unnecessary detail there.
Unnecessary detail. Needless detail. There had been no sign of anything creepy. But when we'd been living there for about 7 months, eerie things started happening. It began with the overpowering smell of lavender perfume in the bathroom.
Then it could have been worse. Then the TV began switching on in the middle of the night, and the DVD player would be turned around in its cabinet so the wires were facing to the front.
Yeah.
Or we'd be sitting in the living room when we'd hear pictures being thrown across the bedroom. Now, at our wit's end, in December 2009, we called in paranormal investigators.
Oh, Christ.
Spirits are very strong tonight.
I'm picking up on lots of spirits here, said one of the investigators, Angela, as soon as she walked through the door. One is an old lady called Margaret, Barry's wife, who used to live here. She's trying to get your attention to let you know she doesn't like your rock music. And his jaw dropped.
You are a shit.
He often played the video game Guitar Hero, blasting out Bon Jovi and Iron Maiden. Margaret says, why can't you play Perry Como? Oh, for fuck's sake.
Margaret.
He's comophobic, that's why. Angela said, Andy and I stared at each other. If American crooner Perry Como was Margaret's favourite singer, no wonder she objected to Andy's loud rock.
I'll do you a deal, Margaret, Andy said out loud. I'll play Perry Como for you every night if you leave our stuff alone.
Yeah.
You've made her very happy, Angela smiled. After that, Andy played Perry Como every night for Margaret.
Oh, no. Just giving in to it. Yes, just giving in to it.
And she kept to her side of the deal and stopped messing about with our belongings.
That's good. Then in January 2014, me mum, Pat, passed away. I was heartbroken. There's something written on the back of the bathroom door, Andy told me one day, a couple of weeks later. Following him into the bathroom, I stared in shock. There, written in my red lipstick, as if someone else had written it, not me, said, Pat loves you.
Yeah, there's something written. I've just been in there.
All right.
There's something written on the back of the door in your lipstick.
I've just been in there.
I don't know what it means.
I'll give it 5 minutes, love, but after that, go in there. Pat, hold on, your mum, ain't it? It's written with your lipstick. Oh, I thought that was missing. Right, carry on. Pat loves you.
I think Margaret wrote it for you, Andy said gently.
Oh, very good. Well, hold on, just a minute.
Wipe.
Wiping the lipstick from his fingers.
Yes.
It's a message from your mum, he said, spelling it out unnecessarily.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah. That's when he came up with the idea of setting up a blackboard for Margaret to write on.
Oh, it was Andy's idea, was
well,
it?
All right, hold on. Don't be so negative. Andy nailed one onto the kitchen wall. Are you happy with the Perry Como songs we are playing, he wrote. When we got up the following morning, we checked the board.
Now, if it's any ghost worth their salt, there should be a crying cactus on there first.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see. A big comedy penis. That's what everyone does.
Anyone would have done that, wouldn't they, with stuff coming out the end. Yes was written in tiny letters next to Andy's question. Andy started writing more questions on the black. Do you think she went to bed before Andy?
Yeah.
I'll just tidy up downstairs. Where's that chalk? He started writing more questions on the blackboard, which Margaret replied to. Does anyone else visit us? He wrote one time.
Ellen came the answer. That was Andy's grandma.
Yeah.
Then one day, reaching for a cigarette, I noticed a couple were missing from the packet. Who's taking the cigs? Andy wrote on the blackboard as if he didn't know.
Spongy.
I don't know, but Andy needs more blowies, came the answer.
That's right, yeah. F***ing hell. By morning, Archie... What's this? By morning, Archie... Who was Archie again? By morning, Archie had been... Oh, that's it. Archie!
He's nicking the cigs, is it?
Archie, yeah, that's right. He's all nicking the cigs. By morning, Archie had been scrawled on the board. Archie was my granddad, Andy told me. I never met him, but he was a heavy smoker.
Oh, my God!
He's not even got a mouth anymore. Where's he putting it?
When I got pregnant, I quit smoking, so Andy wrote... No cigs will be here on the board. It seemed Archie was cross that his fag supply had dried up because the writing was scribbled out.
Oh, my God!
Our son Adam, we should have called it Lambert Butler, was born in January 2015. When he was a few months old, Andy heard a woman's voice gently saying Adam's... Andy heard this again, did he?
Yeah.
He heard a woman's voice gently saying Adam's name over the baby monitor. I never heard it, but Andy did.
Often,
oh my God, didn't he?
Often, there is a picture of the one with her eyebrow ripped off, which we'll come to in a minute.
Bloody hell.
Bloody horrible. And also we saw a shadowy figure flicking past the periphery of our vision. But we were happy to live with our friendly girls. Until one night in February 2019, I was woken by a burning sensation in my right eyebrow. Ow, I yelled, sitting up. Andy turned on the bedside light and clapped his hand over his mouth.
Almost in faux surprise. Charlotte, it's really nasty, he gasped. You must have scratched yourself in your sleep. It feels a lot worse than a scratch, I cried. The pain kept me awake all night, and the next morning when I looked in the mirror, my whole eyebrow was matted with dried blood.
We tried to clean the wound, but over the next few days, it kept opening up. Ooh. Andy took a photo of my eyebrow, which you can see in this magazine, then looked at the picture through a magnifying glass.
Why?
I don't believe it. Your whole eyebrow's been ripped off. Now, I just want to stop the music.
Andy's the one making all these observations, have you noticed?
Can I ask you something? An eyebrow doesn't rip off, does it? An eyebrow, it's not like a fake one that comes with a little bit of plastic. It's a series of hairs. You don't just rip.
Be plucked out.
It has to be plucked out one by one. It doesn't come off like a strip, does it? The whole thing's been ripped off, he gasped.
But only after looking through... only looking through a magnifying glass at picture.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the picture here. It looks bloody awful. Sure enough, when I looked at the...
I don't know, I think I need a magnifying glass.
I might need a magnifying glass to see that. Sure enough, when I looked at the magnified picture, there was no hair where my brow should have been. Just a gaping, jagged wound where it had been sliced off.
Oh, my God.
Ah! I burst into tears of shock and horror!
Oh, my God. This was no... Hang on, where is it? This wasn't the work of Margaret or Archie. This was an evil entity in our home, and yes, it had violently assaulted me. I was on strong painkillers, including morphine, following surgery to... Hang on, this has escalated.
Yeah.
Following surgery to amputate my left leg below the knee in 2010.
What? Why?
Well, she just threw that one into the mix.
Now, that... I mean, it's one thing to have your eyebrow ripped, but you wake up one morning, your knee needs amputating.
The drugs must have numbed the pain, meaning I hadn't woken up as soon as the attack began. Whoever has done this to Charlotte, leave her alone, Andy ordered furiously, yet again inserting himself into the situation.
Yeah. Why is this something about her leg turned up?
So it was, I don't know. Oh, and the fact that she was on heavy, heavy medication.
Oh, this is horrible, isn't it?
Each night it would rattle pictures on the walls and throw cups and bottles against a radiator to make loud clangs.
We tried ignoring it, but that just made it even angrier. Then one night I felt a sharp blow to the side of my head. It just hit me, I told Andy, shocked. Ouch. Me too, Andy winced. In desperation, we put away anything the entity could throw at us, but it carried on plaguing us, banging the headboard and tapping on the side of the bed.
On Andy's side, was it?
Yes. Thankfully, my eyebrow has grown back, but I've been left with nasty scars, both mental and physical. We're terrified and confused. It's like we're living in a horror film.
Are they trying to get rehomed or something?
What is going on? I don't believe any of this.
Look at Andy's face there. Andy knows.
Yes, Andy knows. We think the sinister entity is some sort of poltergeist harassing us, yeah, and then feeding off our fear. The more scared we are, the stronger it becomes.
There are lots of friendly spirits in our house that we rub along with perfectly well, but the evil spirit is something else. We've come close to putting the house on the market, but Andy has adapted it for my needs, and anyway, it's our home. Why should we be forced out? All we want is to be able to live in peace and get a good night's sleep without worrying we're going to be attacked in the dark. You say we, it's always you, and only Andy is there.
Yeah.
Leave that dangling.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, for me, what spoils it slightly is the ripped off eyebrow. They don't rip off like that, eyebrows,
no,
love, do they?
No.
I think she hurt herself somewhere, but it does look horrible. Or she had one of them eyebrows, she has them removed. You know, some people have them removed and they have a sort of big, thick...
It looks like it could be a chemical burn.
Do women have that to what?
Well, I mean, she might have put something on her eyebrows.
I think so.
I don't know. It just looks...
The whole
story is bollocks. Let's
the whole thing is, and I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to say I'm not buying any of that one, I'm afraid. Sorry.
We've moved, but Andy's changed the house, so we might stay.
We thought it was, honest. When I started it, I thought it was potentially quite scary. However, this is scary.
Yeah.
It's part two of my stories with the Beefeaters at the Bloody Tower of London. Thank you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I have been granted access to the most incredible place. What's the name of this tower, please, Dan?
This is the bell tower. We're in the upper bell tower.
And Elizabeth I was kept in here by Bloody Mary.
She was, yeah.
No one else is allowed in here, but Dan has just showed me this. Elizabeth I was kept here, and he said, come round the corner here and just tell me what we're looking at now.
Well, we're now looking at a toilet. We're looking at a marble toilet that looks like any other. It's got a cistern.
Yeah.
But originally, when Elizabeth I was held in here, this was just a hole in the ground. There was nothing there, just something to park a bum over.
Yeah.
And everything, all the business would have gone down to the floor into a bucket, and then a young boy would have emptied the bucket a couple of times a day.
Yes.
But during the Second World War, on the orders of Winston Churchill...
Get this, everyone.
This toilet, this room, this very small room, was made into this porcelain toilet.
Yeah.
For a very special visitor. When we captured Adolf Hitler...
Yes.
He was going to be imprisoned in here. And this is Hitler's toilet.
Unbelievable stuff. This is too good for him, the bastard. Look at it. OK, thank you very much. Hitler's toilet. Dan is going to regale us now about the executions. Hold on to your hats, folks, because this is going to blow your mind.
OK, folks, this is where private executions would take place, inside the Tower of London. Right. We're now standing on Tower Green. Most executions, most beheadings, happened outside the tower up on Tower Hill.
Yeah.
The first execution outside with the public was in 1381, and the last one was in 1747.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Clinton... Executions up there,
yes,
on Tower Hill were so popular that in 1465 they built a permanent execution site.
Really?
And that came, that came with its own seating area and its own standing area.
Well, it sounds like me when I get on stage at the 100 Club.
Yeah.
People saying an early death,
30,000 people watching you die on stage.
How many would go up there?
About 30,000, 35,000.
30,000?
Yeah. Now, this, you have to remember that this was a day out. This was a, you know, there was no entertainment, so we didn't have any Wi-Fi.
No, no.
We didn't have any television.
No.
You had to make your own enjoyment, and that's what their enjoyment would be.
Yes.
And that's why you would get so many people out.
Bloody
hell. You would have, you know, you'd take the family.
Yeah.
It would be a family day out. You take your wife and you take your children. Because you'd get food and wine and beer, you'd be entertained. I mean, I'd have taken my mother-in-law just in case there was a...
A chance.
A chance, you know.
Yeah.
Get up there, Jake.
Audience,
you know,
spot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Now these people
amateur night.
People go to Blue Water now. I don't know what's worse. Getting your head chopped off and spending the day there at TK Maxx. Go on. So on this green...
So on this green here, six people were executed here, and three of them were Queens of England. Queen Anne Boleyn in 1536.
Yes.
Queen Catherine Howard in 1542.
Right.
That was the second and fifth wife of Henry VIII.
Yes.
And Lady Jane Grey, the uncrowned queen of 9 days, who was only 17 years old when she died, were executed. Here.
Poor cow, yeah.
Now, they're buried in the Chapel Royal of St. Peter ad Vincula there.
Yes.
That's where they're buried. Good in that God. Building there. It's locked up now, so we won't be able to go in.
Right, okay.
But we will another day.
Okay.
Now, we hear stories of Anne Boleyn.
Yes.
Coming across this green, floating across this green.
Ghostly Anne
Ghostly
Boleyn.
Apparitions
right.
At night of a figure seen of a lady in a dress with a head under her arm.
Good God, right.
And we believe that to be Anne Boleyn. And
yes.
The reason we believe that to be Anne Boleyn is because when she was executed,
yes,
they hadn't thought about what to do after the death.
Yes.
They hadn't organised a coffin or anything.
Yes.
So apparently the body was left there for a couple of hours. The ladies in waiting tried to do something. They tried to, you know, tried to bring her back to life, maybe, I don't know.
Yes, bit difficult.
But one of my older colleagues, a yeoman warder, went off to get a box, and it was an arrow box. And it wasn't big enough to fit the whole body, and it got the body.
Yes.
But you couldn't put the head on top.
Okay.
So the yeoman warder put the head underneath the arm.
And that's why
and that's
she
how
walks.
She's buried. And that's why we see her here with her head underneath her arm.
Bloody hell. Now, you're about to tell me something that's really going to knock me the socks off. And we've got visual evidence of this, haven't we, Dan?
Which one?
The one you showed me, the photograph.
Oh, the photograph, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Talk about ruining it.
Yeah, so what I forgot, a terrible memory. Remember all these dates.
Makes me wonder whether you're making the whole thing up.
So a colleague of mine was here.
Jesus Christ.
Looking at the memorial. So we've got a memorial. It looks like a coffee table. It's got a pillow on it. It represents where the victim would have put their head.
Yes.
Before the axe came down and separated it from the body.
Yes.
Now, a colleague of mine was up here talking to some people only a couple of days ago, and they asked if this was where Anne Boleyn had been executed. He said yes. Another lady jumped in and said she'd been here before and she'd taken a photograph of this.
Yes.
And there was that apparition, the face on the pillow.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those Patreons who pay for this, Dan is very kindly going to forward me the photograph. For you people who paid, you will see Anne Boleyn's head on what is a sort of ornamental... Well, what is it?
It's a glass pillow.
It's a glass pillow.
Yeah.
And that's, what would you call it? A shrine, a dedicated site?
Yeah, a memorial.
A memorial is the word I couldn't think of. And you will see Anne Boleyn's actual head on this glass pillow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's only for you wonderful people who pay for this. Dan, that's absolutely spooky. And I believe you've got one last story, which is going to scare the shit out of you. Lead the way. And finally, we come to... Well, just straight from the horse's mouth. This is Dan's own spooky experience. Just briefly tell us what we're looking at, please, Dan.
So, Clinton, we're now looking at... did you see the curtains moving?
Yeah, I did see the curtains.
Oh, and a spooky, spooky face
spooky
up there.
Spooky face up there.
Yeah, that's an old... Yeah. Oh, that could be a ghost. It looks old.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it's AJ's mother-in-law.
Oh, OK. Carry on.
So this is the old hospital block. It used to be a hospital.
Yes.
That's why it's called the old hospital block.
Yes.
And we would have had patients in there from the First and Second World War.
Right.
You can see it is slightly different colour on the left-hand side because it was actually hit during the war, during the Blitz, and rebuilt. But I used to live on the very top floor above that spooky face that you can see.
Yeah,
I used to live above there.
Yeah.
I spent about 6 months in there, and one night I went to bed.
Yes.
Just normal. Went to bed. My wife was with me. She got into bed with me.
Lovely. Lovely.
She's a lovely lady.
Lovely.
And I took a glass of orange juice. It's a normal, sort of tall glass of orange juice.
A normal glass of orange juice, yes.
And I put it on the bedside table next to me and went to sleep, turned the lights on.
Yes.
At 10 to 2 in the morning.
Yes.
I was woken up by the sound of a glass falling over and the bedside light coming on.
Right.
And when I rolled over and looked at the bedside table.
Go on.
The glass was three quarters empty, so there was only a drop of orange in the bottom.
Yes.
The orange was all over the table and the bedside lamp was on.
Right.
And I just can't explain that.
Did you say to your wife, if you wanted some oranges, you could have had your own?
She was trying to reach over me. That's one explanation.
Yes.
But I just don't know what was going on. Now, apparently...
Yes.
There used to be a doctor who worked in there. We would have had German prisoners in there.
Right.
Convalescing. And apparently there was a doctor called Herman.
Yes.
Herman the German.
Yeah. And apparently he was partial to orange juice.
And he likes a bit of orange juice. And apparently he still knocks around in there sometimes. So it could have been Herman the German trying to communicate with me.
What do you think he was saying? Could I... You know, I've got a lack of citrus.
I like blackcurrant.
Yeah.
I prefer blackcurrant next time.
Did your wife... I mean, surely... Did you say, look, you must have accused her of going for your orange juice?
No, she's on the other side of me, so no, she wouldn't... No.
Was she awake? Was she asleep?
No, she woke up when I woke her up.
Really?
When the light went on and the glass turned over, yeah, yeah. But the glass being back upright, yeah. I don't know how it knocked over and come back up again. So I don't know if you could shed any light on that, if you've got any... Is anyone speaking to you right now?
Speaketh unto me. Speaketh? No, nothing. Dost thou want orange juice? Dost thou? No, they're not saying anything.
They're not, no.
Maybe he speaks German. Dost this want his orange juice? No. Juice and... Anyway, don't matter. Well, that was very, very spooky.
Yeah.
But it did shit you up and you came out and you said, look...
I'm not living there anymore.
But you were convinced by that, were you?
Yeah, I'm convinced by that, yeah.
All joking aside.
Yeah, because I have no explanation for it.
Well, Dan, this has been a bloody pleasure. I want to thank you so very, very much.
Welcome.
And I will be coming back.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
It's Dan Benson. He's an absolute hero. They're coming back to the 100 Club, all the beef eaters.
Yeah.
And if you want to come, you people, don't forget, it's January the 28th and February the 11th. Fading now. Thank you, sir. Fading now. Do not forget, if you are, and I'm hoping you all are, Patreon members, you can see the actual scary photo of Anne Boleyn. This is true, the ghost of Anne Boleyn, if you go to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. What a fantastic thing that was. Absolutely loved it. Now, this is a rather nice story, which I thought we'd have for Christmas, you know, just to be a little bit more positive. And it's simply this: a heavenly cuppa. Mum and I had a tradition which she carried on after she died. By Sharon Carey, 43.
Plonking her bag down on the table at Costa Coffee, Mum reached into her purse and pressed a fiver into my hand. Go on, Shaz, my treat, she winked. Costa Coffee costs more than £5.
No, oh yeah, that's right.
Oh my fucking God.
Very expensive.
I smiled, it was the same every time. My mum, Margaret, 72, and I would meet in Runcorn Town Centre, where Mum would insist on buying me a coffee.
I've been there to Runcorn, I'm going to tell you about it in a minute.
But didn't give me enough money to buy us both one.
These people!
Before I'd push her around the shops in her wheelchair. Oh. It was always a fiver she gave me, and if she didn't have one, she'd get in a right flap.
Mum loved hitting the shops. She could go at it all day. And to the shops. Now, very quick, just turn it off a second. I was in Runcorn recently.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you something. Has anyone been to Runcorn? I stayed at the... Basically, when I go and do my spirit readings, I was at the Brindley Theatre in Runcorn. A fantastic gig. The Giggle Shack run it. The fella called Colin Havey. If you're there, Colin, thanks for a wonderful, wonderful gig. I was on with Justin Morehouse, another fellow whose name I can't remember. I'm terribly sorry. But it was a great gig. Anyway, my agent said to me, they're not providing accommodation. Would you book your own accommodation? Now, me being a bit of a skinflint, I thought, how bad is it going to be?
Oh!
How bad? And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to turn up, I'll do the gig, I just need somewhere to rest my head for a few hours, and I'll be on the first train at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? I stayed at the... Now, I don't know whether anyone's aware of this place. Campanile?
Oh, yes! I've stayed at one of them.
Oh,
I stayed at one of them in Liverpool.
God! God almighty!
We ended up leaving a day early.
Yes.
We've had enough of that.
Yes. It's one up from a hostel. It's not... It's...
It sounds posh, given that it's got like a French name.
It is. And they go by the... And it says, do you want to dine in our restaurant tonight? And you think, oh, it's going to be all French fan. And the people who wear the outfits, and they're perfectly nice, the staff. I'm not going to go to the staff wearing these sort of, what they call a Breton style shirts. I thought, oh, well. Anyway, this place, my God, it was dirt cheap. I've got a feeling it was not 50 quid or something like that. And I thought, I came out of the station, I went over, I thought, oh, you must be joking. It started to rain. It was all, you go on these sort of stairs, like it was like sort of student accommodation. It was like a sort of a holiday camp accommodation. Like, you know, in an American film in the 50s, where someone goes on the run and they stay in a place, it's just got a bathroom.
Like a motel.
A motel type thing, but without the nice warmth of America. Freezing, pissing down with rain. Horrible sort of concrete, pebble dashed sort of thing. And I went in there and I thought, oh God, this is horrible. It doesn't matter, I'll go and do the gig. Anyway, I came back from the gig and first of all, I walked the wrong way. It started raining. I started walking the wrong way up a dual carriageway back to this hotel. I was dripping wet, thinking, come on, mate, you're 55 now. Why didn't I get a cab? Too stingy. Too stingy to get a cab. Got in this place, up the stairs, lugged my suitcase full of my costume and props and all that. Got up there, got into bed, pulled the duvet over. It was wafer thin, the duvet. Wafer thin. I thought, it's got to be a... You know, sometimes you go to a hotel, they've got extra blankets or something. Couldn't find it. I got two towels from the bathroom.
Oh, you were cold.
I was freezing.
That's
cold.
The worst.
I couldn't get the bloody heater to work properly. I couldn't put on my jumper because it was completely wringing wet from the rain. I was cursing myself all night. And you know what you mentioned the other day about you go to a hotel and it smells of the previous occupant. Underneath, I've no doubt that the cover had been cleaned, but I could smell the wafer-thin duvet underneath. I've never been so disgusted with myself apart from anything. I mean, honestly, spend some money on a hotel, particularly when you get to over 50.
Treat yourself.
Have you stayed in a shit
hotel? Yes, I bloody have. My sister organised for us to go to see Take That in London.
This is where you went to Luton, didn't you?
Yes!
I've heard this three times! Oh, my bloody God. Hell!
But that was one of those hotels. So anyway, long story short, too late, we ended up being on this bus and it was full of people from up north who didn't realise that Luton is not London, right?
Right.
So with this trip, go and see Take That, it was supposed to get a London hotel. It was not. It was in Luton.
Right.
And when we got back to the hotel, I lay on the pillow and I could smell the breath of the previous occupant. Also, the remote control was in a plastic bag. It was one of those places, right, where they did not trust you to wipe your bloody hands.
I do not like to touch those remote controls.
It was
horrible. You don't
know
where it's been, do
basically,
you?
There was us. Our coach trip was in there and I suspect it was used by... Yes. Lower class sex workers, because no one was sleeping in those rooms. It was too horrible. I think they were just a convenient place to bunk up.
I am not saying that the Campanile in Runcorn is a place where prostitutes go, but it could be, couldn't it? It probably, if it's a cheap rent, it might be.
Wheels, just somewhere better than a back alley.
We simply don't know at this stage, but I felt very deserted. No one around. I thought I'd be bloody kidnapped at any second.
It's as if people did not usually stay the night. Is what I mean.
I was tempted not to say the bloody thing. And I got them on and I said, guess what I'm going to say? I said, the duvet is so thin, I was freezing cold. And they went, all right. I said, do other people say that? Yes, we have heard that before, they said. Yeah. So why are you
on the few people who stay more than an hour in that room, yes.
Oh, God, it was so depressing. Anyway, sorry, that was a nice thing to talk about. But remember this time of year that our Lord was born in a stable. Anyway.
Also, a little shout out to sister sex workers. Please ask for nicer duvets. You deserve
better.
Yeah,
that's right. This is not slagging those people. Anyway, where do we get this? Look, you go all day at the shops in Runcorn, but not that hotel. You couldn't go all night in that bloody hotel. So when, one Saturday in September 2017, she seemed breathless, this is the mum, and asked me to take her home after an hour.
Oh.
I knew something wasn't right.
No.
Bloody hell. Go on.
Mum couldn't walk because she'd had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease for 14 years and it was getting worse. That would be the breathlessness then.
Yeah.
Not long after, my dad Malcolm called to say Mum had been taken to hospital. Oh, she died that afternoon, aged 72.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Oh, I was totally cut up.
As the months wore on, I plodded on as best I could, but I missed Mum so much. People kept telling me she'd gone to a better place.
Than Roncorn, yes, easy. Stockport.
Not the Campanile. But I'd never been a big believer in the afterlife. Months passed, and before I knew it, I was coming up to the anniversary of Mum's death. How about a coffee in town, I suggested to Dad, agreeing to meet at his favourite cafe, Sue's.
It seemed a fitting way to remember Mum.
Surely it should have been Costa.
Well, yeah. Too expensive. She only ever had a fiver. It seemed a fitting way to remember Mum. As I headed over there with my daughter, Tia, 12, I felt a lump in my throat as we approached the branch of Co-op Funeral Care where Mum had been... This is cheery at Christmas. Where Mum had been taken after she died. Just then, right, my phone rang. It was Dad. Change your plan, he said. I'm in Costa, Mum's favourite coffee shop.
Oh, my fucking God.
That's strange, I frowned, carrying on towards the funeral parlour.
That's when I spotted something on the grass.
Go on.
A turd. No, a £5 note.
That'll get you a night at the Campanile in Roncorn. Go on.
I don't believe it, I croaked, showing it to Tia. This must be off Nanny or out of some poor old lady's pocket.
She wanted to treat me to a cappuccino! As we stumbled into Costa in shock, I clutched the note tightly in my
hand. Three of them now are going to be drinking off this fiver, are they?
Get nothing for that.
Was it really a sign from Mum? No. I was about to brush it off as a coincidence when I realised what music was playing.
Yes.
It was John Legend, All of Me, brackets, loves all of you.
How does that go?
All of me loves all of you.
But not quite enough to buy you a full coffee between the three of you.
You can watch one of you drink a cup of cappuccino.
Dad, listen, I said, tears filling my eyes. Mom's favourite song. Now that is nice, isn't it? We played it at her funeral. I chose it because she said it reminded her of me. That's lovely. The sceptical type, Dad just smiled. Even when I flashed him... Hey, even when I flashed him the fiver. I was going to say, you don't see that in Costa all the time, do you?
That's lucky. You can get yourself a coffee now. Just you, selfish coffee, he grinned, not realising the significance. It's been nearly 3 years since Mum passed away, and now I'm open-minded to spirit. She sent more signs, but buying me a coffee that day was the best.
I think that's lovely at Christmas. That's a lovely Christmassy one, isn't it?
As that story was a £300-pounder, she can maybe treat herself again.
Absolutely. Now, this afternoon, before Linda got here, someone got in touch with me with this spooky story. His name's George Webb, if you would, please.
Hi, Clinton. No mention of me. Love the podcast. Very spooky and informative, which is a rare mix. I felt compelled to tell you my spooky story.
Lovely.
In the early noughties, I went on a business trip to the White Mountain National Forest in New Hampshire, USA.
Lovely.
After a long drive from Boston into the mountains, there was a choice of accommodation in either a chalet or at a hotel down the road. I decided to go for the hotel rather than share a room with work colleagues. As we drove up, it dawned on me that I'd made a mistake and I got a sinking feeling. The hotel could only be described as literally something out of The Shining.
Yeah.
Except it literally wasn't.
Yes.
The hotel is called the Mount Washington Hotel and is an imposing building, essentially surrounded by wilderness.
All right, come on. Get on with it.
The hotel had an aged, fallen-from-glory type vibe. A large reception area, lots of spooky paintings, even one of those cage lifts, and, I kid you not, an elderly spooky bloke operating it. All the long corridors were slightly sloped, and there were loads of large mirrors and paintings that people... with stern faces. It literally did feel, literally again, like a haunted hotel, or at a minimum, a film set depicting one.
My room had 2 four-poster beds in it.
Yeah, needless heater.
Excessive large radiators.
Yeah, needless heater.
And literally, curtains drawn made it look like someone was literally behind them. A spooky large bathroom.
Yeah, needless heater.
With a roll top type bath, etc.
Yeah, needless heater.
All the paintings and fittings were, in a word, spooky. The only relief was that the telly, which I basically kept on in the room to anchor me, had a bit of reality to it. The view out the window was literally open countryside and so pitch black at night.
At dinner in the basement area, specific, I had to let slip that I found the place spooky.
Get on with it, man!
man!
And this was a red rag to the bull to my friends and colleagues, who began, of course, to take the piss. Not only that, but the waitress got wind and proceeded to inform me that...
Who likes that? The waitress got wind? That's not very nice when you're eating in a restaurant. No, that's really horrible, isn't it, in a sort of kitchen environment.
Linda farted
in the kitchen. For the last one this series. We won't do that again. Go on.
Pretended to inform me that the hotel was indeed one of the most haunted hotels in the whole of the USA.
Well, get on with what was haunting the f***ing thing then.
And yes, you guessed it, unprompted, part of the inspiration for the Shining film itself.
Yes, I don't know.
It's like when we tell the Americans we all know the Queen.
Everyone says it, don't they? Over the two nights I stayed there was literally banging on the walls and various phone calls with voices and noises. Both of these could be explained away by someone I knew in the next room and other people ringing my room from the chalet to shit me up. Here we go. At long last. But there was one incident I couldn't explain. In the very early hours of the morning, I woke needing a pee and immediately felt a presence, literally, as I made my way to the bathroom, like I was being watched in the dark. As I turned on the bathroom light, I felt a hand stroke my back. It was the most chilling thing ever. I whacked on the telly immediately. Golf channel.
So you say.
I got myself together.
When it came to leave, I was a bit more confident asking about the history and hauntings. Hey. I was told that the princess haunts the hotel. She is the long-dead ex-wife of the man who built it. Was it her, perhaps, that stroked her hand down my back last night? Your advice and opinion we welcomed. I was shown a picture of the hotel being left empty for the winter, and in it you can see a picture of one of the windows.
Oh.
I haven't sent it. He goes to a different school.
Yeah, where is that bloody picture?
The story goes that it's her, and that has he haunts the hotel to this day.
That it is her, and that has he haunts the hotel to this day. Spooky.
Has he haunted the hotel?
Anyway, it's an interesting place. You made it sound fascinating. And perhaps somewhere you could visit for research purposes. I'd love to. There's a decent bar in the basement, if anything.
Literally.
Literally. Cheers. George from London. It's George Webb. Let's get him on the bloody phone right now. Quite literally. George, we've heard the story. Quite a lot of build-up.
Lot of detail.
When you were with other people who you were expecting to sort of, you know, trick you, play pranks, what have you, which other people, please, answer?
It was a work trip at the time, so it was sort of a mix of colleagues and people you sort of... you know, you behave in front of, really. Okay. So it was kind of a difficult, tough crowd, I'd say.
Just rewinding a little bit, George, a works trip might be to have some food at the local taverna at Christmas. It might be what Linda did the other day, to throw a few balls at each other in the name of trust games. What sort of industry, and can I get into it, will take you off to New Hampshire, wherever the hell it was?
It's insurance, actually. So,
I'll tell you what. Forget it.
Yeah.
Although, George, I do have an insurance.
You're going to hang up.
I have, honestly, this is true. I was just speaking to Linda just now about an insurance issue, wasn't
I? I'm not sure you want to come clean about this.
No, but I might speak to you about an insurance issue with my property. Let's get on with it. Did you see a bloody gun?
Well, I didn't see anything, but I certainly felt something, and yes. You know, I can't rationally explain it, really, and that's the thing that's what compelled me to contact you, really.
Is there a chance that it was? You mentioned the curtains. Could they have been billowing, and touched you on the back? Sack and crack in the night when you got out of bed.
No.
I wasn't fully nude, so there wouldn't have been any of that. But I was nowhere near the curtains. I was nowhere near anything, really. So it sort of came out of nowhere. So it was all very, very strange.
Linda,
are you sure you were fully awake, George? Could you have been in a moment of transitory dreamlike state?
Oh, have a listen to old Dr. Magnus Pike here. Don't know much. Yeah. She got all the buzzwords. Go on.
Yeah, no, I was definitely awake. You know, I turned the the telly on afterwards and watch that. So I wasn't imagining
golf
imagining
plans.
That. So yeah, it was golf, all very golf. Yeah, very yeah.
Look, golf, I yeah. like that. I liked that detail about the golf. We both picked up on that.
Yes.
It's a golf channel.
Methinks she protests too much.
Do you think? Yeah. Is it a bit like, you know, giving this?
There was a hole in one. Let's put it that way.
There was a hole in one. Tell me, listen, George. So when you felt a hand on your back, how was that distinct from?
Could you feel fingers?
Yeah. Could you feel fingers? Or was it a lampshade? I mean, how do you know it was a hand, you soppy sod?
Well, I mean, if the only reason I think it's a hand in retrospect is after hearing the story, but it went down my back. It didn't stay in one position. It went
there were
from
no obvious
sort of
digits
top to bottom.
Play.
Did you feel a digit?
No. It was all very clean. It was all very clean. It was a light touch.
Okay.
Mm. Flutter.
Just the way I like it. George, have you ever heard this podcast before? Because there was a story about a lady who gave me a massage and she put her fingers very lightly down my back and traced the curvature of my spine right the way to the top of my buttocks. But we were on a cross-channel ferry and it nearly slipped up where the sun don't shine.
Nearly reset you, didn't it?
Nearly pressed me reset button. Was it like that? Yeah. Was she trying to tickle your fancy, or what do you think it was?
It wasn't scary. I mean, it was scary, obviously, but it wasn't. I didn't feel like I was something was trying to intimidate me necessarily. But the backstory of who it could have been,
yes,
it is intriguing because it was. I mentioned the princess. It was the ex-wife of the person who built the hotel. She married a prince. And became a princess. And she's one of the ghosts there.
George. What a vague story. In America, she married a prince and became a princess. Which prince? Is it the American royal family we're talking about? It's kind of rubbish. Which prince?
It was Prince... I don't know his name, but she married a prince.
Okay. Did they say she married a prince? Okay. She married a prince. She became a real princess. She fell down the lift shaft. I think that it does sound a little bit like something you might do to attract. And I'm playing devil's advocate because you know I believe this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Say
yeah,
it, Clinton.
Yeah.
But come armed with some facts, George. I mean,
well, I mean, vague, I can reel off some facts if you like. Okay. If you want
do,
to really...
do, George, do.
Okay, I've got notes. Constructed 1900, Joseph Stickney. His wife, Carolyn Stickney, she was the one, she then ex-wife, because he died after the construction of the hotel. And then she married a prince.
Which prince, please?
I don't know his name, actually. But that doesn't mean he didn't exist. Because, I didn't know him, But there was a prince. This is a matter of, what do they call it? A matter of record. She remained a princess. She died and she remains in the hotel. And you'll like this because they say it was originally a summer paradise, the hotel.
Yes.
And now they call it a paranormal paradise.
Of course they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is wafer thin. They've had you, George. They've had you.
Wafer thin.
Well, I'm with you. I'm sort of with you, Linda, because I'm not really a true believer, obviously, but I'm getting that way, and I just can't explain this one, you know. So yeah,
right. Okay.
It is. I realise it's slightly thin, but it happens.
Slightly thin. Well, George, that will be. Let's say it's going to be in the lower reaches of the top 50 stories we've heard in this series.
It's number one in the stories we've heard today.
It's number one in the stories we've heard today. Oh. And I dare say if you go to a dinner party, let's imagine people really pissed, tired, all the conversations worn down.
You can distract them with all that radiator talk and your story.
There might be a radiator.
What are the descriptions?
There might be someone who's interested in insurance or radiators that gleans something from this. or princes and princesses, royalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, please do, though, look up the hotel. I mean, you know, listeners, etc. You know, I mean,
You're not doing the research, mate. You should have done it before you came on.
Look up the hotel. What do you think this is? The bloody library? We're not going to be looking at... Oh, yeah, Linda, just go over to my hotel shelf there.
I'll look go to the Hotelopedia.
Hotelopedia there. Well, George...
This has been charming.
This has been charming. Good luck with everything.
Well, thank you.
Don't phone again.
Watch your back.
All right, mate.
Right. Will do. All the best.
And your crack. All right, George. Lots of love. Thanks, son.
Bye, George.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Let me have to stop right here. Well, this is quite... I'll say, but I don't know, it's a sort of sad occasion because we're coming to the end of this series,
yeah.
Right? But what it doesn't mean we're not going to be back. We will be back. But ladies and gentlemen, I've got to go on tour, haven't I? I'm doing a tour all over the country. I can't do it all. I've got to write the tour, bloody perform the tour.
He's got a life to live.
I've got a life, haven't I? But what I'm telling you is there's so much for you to enjoy while we're away. We'll be back soon. Don't worry. We got, for all the Patreons, not you, other people don't pay for anything, we will have radio and online video recordings. I'll be giving you the odd tour video from all over the country.
Emphasis on the word odd.
Odd tour videos, gig discounts. This is if you join Patreon for only a fiver a month. You will get the best bit edits from series six. In fact, six entire series since 2018, right? I would say that half of you people have probably not even heard the first few series, maybe one to five, as far as I know, which are bloody superb. Totally different format from this one. Stick with us, please, on Patreon for the new season, which will be coming up. And if you join us, you will be able to access the new episodes 8 weeks, fully 8 weeks before anyone else. Not 5 weeks, it currently is, 8 weeks. Don't forget, you can also get a 7-day free trial, and it's only a fiver. What can you buy with a fiver?
Not a coffee at Costa. One coffee
at bloody Costa. So we will be back next year. I'm not sure exactly when, but it won't be long. Linda, will you please say you'll come back?
I probably will, yeah.
What do you mean you probably will?
Well, you know, unless...
Unless what?
Well, unless you never can tell. It's going to be a new year...
Okay,
but it won't be a new me. I'll probably come back. Yeah.
Will it be depend on...
If a ghost comes up to me and says, I'm real...
Then will you come back?
Oh, almost certainly, yes.
Okay, well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back soon. Just before I go, I know you do like Ruth. She sent a little message to everyone out there, which is this.
Hello, everybody. This is Ruth. Happy Christmas. Remember that Clinton's spending it with me, so keep your naughty hands off that, includes you, Santa. And he's spending it with me, and we're going to be away for a while because we're coming back soon, but not immediately. So happy Christmas and happy New Year.
So until next time, don't worry, we will be back. Yes, we will. We will be back. Linda... Happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, and try not to shit yourselves.
Yeah, try not to shit yourselves. That's the main takeaway. If you see a ghost, above all, do not shit yourselves. But write into us and we'll cover it on the next series. All right, until next time, Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. Love each and every one of you, especially the ones who pay for Patreon.
Mostly them.
Mostly them. The others, not so bothered about. All right, lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Linda, the 100 Club, the Beefeaters from the Tower of London, George Webb, to Ruth, to the wonderful Laurie and Kat at Peters Fox, who edit and produce this masterpiece, and to Glow for this gorgeous playout music. And thanks to you, above all, for supporting us throughout Series 6. See you soon, guys. Namaste.
Let me know. If you gotta, take it slow. Take it slow. I'm your little bird. Don't go too.
please do not forget, we're doing shows, live shows, at the 100 Club. Sunday the 28th of January, doors at 6:30. Sunday, February the 11th, doors at 6:30. Show at 7. You're going to love it. Where there's music, there's comedy, there's me. There's a chance for you to tell your ghostly stories. You've heard them on here. We'll play them out on the podcast. You're going to love it. Please go to wegottickets.com and look for Clinton Baptiste Sunday Seance. And for God's sake, don't forget I'm going on tour all over the country. My UK solo stand-up tour, Roller Coaster. For tickets for that, go to clintonbaptiste.com/tour. That's enough of the hard sell. Go about your day. Thank you.
Oh, my God!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.